Again, ladies, mothers, congratulations. May the Lord bless you. Amen. I have a couple poems here, actually, a few of them. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get through them all, but I would like to begin with one. The first one is titled, Her Hands. Her hands held me gently from the day I took my first breath. Her hands helped to guide me as I took my first step. Her hands held me close when the tears would start to fall. Her hands were quick to show me that she would take care of it all. Her hands were there to brush my hair or straighten a wayward bow. Her hands were often there to comfort the hurts that didn't always show. Her hands helped hold the stars in place that encouraged me to reach. Her hands would clap and cheer and praise when I captured them at length. Her hands would also push me, though not down or in harm's way. Her hands would punctuate the words, "Just do what I say." Her hands sometimes had to discipline to help bend this young tree. Her hands would shape and mold me into all she knew I could be. Her hands are now twisting with age and years of work. Her hands now need my gentle touch to rub away the hurt. Her hands are more beautiful than anything can be. Her hands are the reason I am me. Amen?
Amen.
And then moving on through different stages of life. Hand in hand we walk together. God's grace warms us from above. It's Him to I thank each day I wake for blessing me with all Your love. The sunshine in the morning and the bird that sings my song. In this life when I am troubled, through God it's You who keeps me strong. The wind beneath my wings as the eagle takes its to flight. You are the stars that brighten up my sky in the darkness of the night. The mother of my children, the air that gives me life, my truest friend of all, my heart, my soul, my wife. Amen? Let's see here. Here's another one. It's entitled Grandma. While we honor all our mothers with words of love and praise, while we tell about their goodness and all their kind and loving ways, we should also think of Grandma. She's a mother too. You see, for she mothered my dear mother as my mother mothers me. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to get through number four. But I'll attempt it. One more, just different phases of life. Lord, are there roses in Your garden on the shores of Jubilee? Would You pick a dozen of Your best and deliver them for me? For you see, today is Mother's Day. And I can't visit my mom. For it wasn't very long ago, the angels came and took her home. So, if there are roses in your garden on the shores of Jubilee, would you pick a dozen of your best and deliver them for me? Would you take them to my mother and tell her that I love her? Tell her I miss her in oh so many ways, but I have the joy of knowing we'll meet again someday and we'll pick roses together on the shores of Jubilee. Amen? All those different phases. Maybe some of you got this morning. We're making breakfast for Mother's Day, but we have one question. How do you work this thing? Amen? Pretty much says it all. Again, happy Mother's Day. If you would now take your Bibles and open to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. Who was it the other day that said the fan had to come on right after we started? 2 Kings chapter 4. Take a look with me down in verse number 8. And let's read together. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to the lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She called her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither the new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not for thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, and to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went in again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awakened. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked into the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come into him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for just a day set aside to honor mothers. We see various stories and passages throughout the Word of God that deal with mothers, and here's one of them, a Shunammite woman. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to maybe just glean a couple of things from her life and from her experience here today from the Word of God that might be a help to each and every person here that's here this morning. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have here obviously the story of the Shunammite woman. She's called in verse 8 a great woman. She happens to be the only woman in the Bible that's called or referred to as a great woman. And so that's what I titled the message here this morning. It's nothing real in-depth, just something that I hope would be a help and maybe an encouragement to you along the way. But we're going to preach this morning on a great woman. It's easy to take a sermon like this with a Shunammite woman and go multiple different directions, right? For example, we could discuss her faith. That would be an easy way to go. It's obvious that she had great faith. It's obvious that this woman believed in the Lord God. Amen? That's pretty simple to see. If I had to describe her, I would use words like industrious, trusted, strong, determined, humble. But this morning, I just want to pull out a few characteristics and take a look at a couple things that that I see in this woman that you and I should emulate or attempt to emulate. Certainly, if you're a mother, these are things that you can tuck away and have in your repertoire as well. Amen. So let's begin here this morning, and I'll try to move along. Let's begin with a few things that let you know what she was. What she was. Take a look at verse 10. Take a look at verse 10. It says, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." Listen, one of the first things that you learn about this woman from Shunem, this woman that is referred to in the Bible as a great woman, after she's introduced and we kind of get to know who she is, we find out, ladies, we find out that this lady is charitable. Amen? She sees Elisha and Gehazi coming by, and I don't know how long she had been seeing that, or I don't know how many times that she had ran across them. Obviously, she was somewhat familiar with them. But she sees them coming by, and she goes out of her way, and it says in verse 8, it says this. It says she constrained them. Right? She constrained them. And it fell on the day that Elisha passed the Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. So I got to thinking about that, because in my mind that didn't make a lot of sense. And so I looked up constrained. And to constrain somebody is to force or to compel. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of weird. Right? That's not what I picture. I mean, I don't picture the Shunammite grabbing Elijah, you know, by the collar saying, "Come in here, sit down. Here, have this bread. Don't you feel the Lord dealing with you?" I mean, that's what I think of when I think of force or constrain, right? Sit down and eat, Elisha. Hush, eat your food. Some of you kids are thinking, "Hey, wait a minute, that's my mom." That seemed kind of strange to me, right? So I got to looking a little bit more, and I looked up the word compel, because that's one of the definitions of constrain. And to compel someone, one of the definitions of compel is to have a powerful and irresistible effect on someone or an influence. Now that sounds more like it. Have you ever been around someone that when they speak, you just kind of discern this person is worth listening to? I know none of you have ever experienced that at all, have you? But you know that there's some people that, you know, when they talk, you sit back and you go, "Yeah, I can just tell, you know, that lady, that guy's got something to say. I should probably pay attention." I imagine that's what she was like. There was something about her, ladies and gentlemen, there's something about her that that Elisha, you know, especially, but probably even Gehazi, that stood out, and when she compelled them to come in and eat that bread, she was just being charitable, right? She was just going out of her way to help somebody, you know, to help a pilgrim and a wanderer that was wandering by, and she compelled them, she constrained them, excuse me, to come and eat bread, and you know, her mannerisms. There must have been something about her, ladies, that caused Elijah to sit back and go, I'm going to take her up on that offer. Amen? You know, as ladies, as mothers, that's what you want to be. You want that same charitableness, that charity in your character. Gentlemen, we want to be the same way. But there's ought to be something about us as Christians that people look at us and we're going out of our way to be charitable, right? We'll talk about that a little bit as we go along. But there should be something in us that people detect. You know, like I said, she had a powerful and irresistible effect or influence. There was just something about her. In other words, listen, she was very simply sincere. This woman was a great woman in the Bible, and you know what she was when it came to being charitable? She was just sincere. Listen, she had a desire to be a blessing to other people. She had a desire to help others. Listen, she just wanted to provide something for Elijah along the way. Amen? All too often in this world, we get so wrapped up and so crazy and, you know, we get to running to and fro and we got stuff to take care of and business and meetings and responsibilities. Sometimes we just forget to be charitable to other people. Charitable to strangers. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all your things be done with charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, right? Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And now, at the end, abideth faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. The Shunammite woman was a great woman. Why? Because it was a part of her makeup to be charitable. To the point that there was something about her that was irresistible. She just had that way about her, that charity just flowed out of her, and Elijah was irresistible. That's a great quality to have. You know, 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, I've always read this passage, and I don't know why I didn't see this before, but I've always read this passage and thought to myself, she just did that because he's a preacher. Right? But take a look at verse 9. Well, verse 8, fell on a day, right, that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. She constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned thither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. She didn't necessarily perceive that he was a man of God until after she had already been feeding him bread. Amen? What is that? All right, here's a woman that's called a great woman in the Bible, and it was her natural, it was her nature to be charitable. Now, a little while later, when she finds out it's a man of God, she goes an extra step, right? And, you know, let's build him a little chamber, and let's get a table and a chair and a candlestick, and let's put all that together. And she goes that extra mile, and, you know, that's a good example, ladies, for us. I mean, we ought to be charitable to everybody. Amen? But we ought to be especially charitable to the people of God. Right? There's something about taking care of the people of God, taking care of one another. There's a charity there that goes beyond just what you would call, hopefully, your normal charity. It's like family. Amen? And this woman, you know, this woman demonstrated that. I would say this. Ladies, she's called here a great woman. Today is Mother's Day. You know what you ought to strive for? You ought to strive in your life for having that kind of charity in general, but especially having that kind of charity towards God's people. We see later on the Lord blesses it, right? But too often we fail in that department because we're so wrapped up in life. But this great woman, one of the things that she had is she was charitable. I tell you another thing, again, I'll try to quickly move along. Another thing that she had, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't a once or twice occasion when she expressed this charity. It fell on the day that Elisha passed Shunem, where was a great woman. She constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, You know, one of the most difficult things for me in the Christian life is just to be consistent. You know, one of the most difficult things in life for success is just being consistent. Just being consistent. It's so easy to start all gung-ho and you get fired up and you take on this project and then you get a few days into it and the work piles up and then you realize, I've got something else to do. And before you know it, 2 or 3 weeks have gone by and you haven't accomplished the project. You haven't finished the project. Now, some people are blessed, man. They're OCD enough. They start something and they don't do anything else in the world until they finish. Praise the Lord. That's good. That has a benefit. But it is difficult to be consistent, especially when it comes to spiritual things. This woman, ladies and gentlemen, she was just consistently at it, day after day after day. Every time Elisha came by, she saw him. Every time Elisha came by, she called him in again. That consistency turned into, let's build him a chamber. That consistency turned into a habitual thing. And brethren, she just pecked at it and pecked at it and pecked. Mothers, you know what it's like to work, to be consistent, don't you? I mean, don't you have to do the same thing day in, day out, day in, day out? There's, day after day after day after day of working, right? Taking care of the kids, taking care of your husband, taking care of the house. I don't know which is worse. I'm going to leave that one alone. My wife is here. But Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. You know, one of the characteristics that made this woman great, she was just consistent. She just kept going and going and going. You say it wasn't much. It doesn't have to be. In all frankness, it really doesn't have to be. Just time and time again, she ministered to Elisha and Gehazi. I'm sure there are days when Elisha came walking through town and she had probably got up that morning and had 10,000 things to go on, and she was just totally exhausted. And she probably looked out, saw him walking down the road, going, oh, Lord, not today. The house is a mess. I need to go to the store. You have those days, moms? You ever have those days? But yet she took the time, even in spite of those types of days, to be charitable. She was consistent. What a blessing it was. Women in general, but especially mothers, seem to be very, very consistent. You all understand this. Motherhood Incorporated, Human Resources. One vacation day a year, that's all I get. We call it Mother's Day, but technically, you still have to work. That's about the size of it, right? There's just something about consistency. There's something about determination. What is this? This is a picture of the front of my house. We got rocks on our ledge right there. Isn't that cool? That's awesome, isn't it? We got rocks on that side of the ledge too. That's cool. Forget about the Marine down at the bottom. He's just there for looks. Okay, what on earth has that got to do with anything? Well, we have a special rock my wife painted. I don't know why she painted it, but she did. And it says this, no nests allowed. We have this robin. Ever since we moved into this house, has been coming back every single year and building a nest on that ledge. And I don't care how many times you tear the nest down. We went out there the other day. Well, when the kids were there, we had Brady. Big German Shepherd. Big German Shepherd and a robin's nest this high off the ground is not a good combination. That bird keeps coming back and back. And would try to catch it right at the beginning. When she first started to build the nest, we'd go out there, take it, and throw it away. And we'd say, whew, and we'd put a rock there. She'd move over, build another nest. Take it down. Put a rock there. She'd build over. Move. That's why there's rocks all across that whole expanse. Right? We've been through this a time or two. She is consistent. Never fails. Every year. We had some birds last year that were giving us some troubles, and we actually shot a few, and I thought I accidentally shot a robin. It wasn't her, because she's back this year. So my wife went out the other day, she had this, by the time we saw it, there's this nice nest, a little mud lined in there, it was almost completely done. My wife takes it, and she doesn't want to ruin the nest, so she takes it all the way over to the garden, and she puts it on the landscape timber. And I'm looking at that going, hon, the bird's not going to want a nest out in the middle of the open. So we cleaned it all off. We look again. She started to build another nest. And she's starting from scratch. And I know she's going to have eggs real soon. Right? So that's what happens normally. So we gave up. We gave up. Luke 11:8 says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise up and give him as many as he needeth. You know the story. We finally gave up. I went out yesterday. I grabbed the real nice nest that was on the landscape timber. And I picked it up and I brought it over and I set it on the ledge. And right next to the other one that she had just started building. I said, forget it. Let her be over here in this corner. And she came last night and decided the one she started building was, she knocked that one down the ground and she left the good one that's there. So I guess all that work was not for naught. But the point of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, listen, she was consistent. To the point of being annoying. To the point of just beyond comprehension. And we finally gave up. You know what you ought to be when it comes to serving the Lord? Serving Christians. Right? You ought to be charitable. But that charity ought to be consistent. It ought to be such a part of your nature that, listen, no matter what happens, no matter what obstacles you face, you try to do something good for somebody and somebody comes along and tears it down and tears it apart and puts it over on the landscape timber, like my wife did. You just keep coming back and back and back and back. Doing what? Doing good. Just doing good. This woman, the Shunammite woman, every time Elisha came by, she was there. Come in, eat bread, sit down. I know grandmothers are like that. Right? They always have food. It's awesome. But she was just consistent. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not. And I know this world's getting to be a crazy, crazy place, ladies and gentlemen. And I know that it's real tempting to sometimes just to crawl up in a corner and just stay away from everything because I don't want to be around it. But as Christians, you know what we all have an obligation to do? We have an obligation to be charitable. It's this guy wandering down the road, we help him out. And then she gets to know him and she realizes, oh, this is a man of God. And then she goes that extra step. And she takes care of God's people. Amen? Charitable and consistent. Another thing that she has in her repertoire, she is content. You go through, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us, as full of care for us, with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken to the king or to the captain of the host? In other words, hey, listen, you're putting all this time and this effort, and you're doing all these things out of charity, being kind, you're taking care of us, we didn't ask you to do it. What can we do for you? And you know what her answer was in a nutshell? I've got all I need. In a nutshell, her answer was, I dwell among my own people. I'm good. I have everything I need. The Lord's been good to me. The Lord has provided me with all the things that I need. I have enough to even feed you too when you come by. And you know what? We have this little place in our house we can clean out, and we can even make a place for you to stay when you come through. You know what she was? This lady was content. Did she have everything she wanted? No. But she was content. She was content. I'm all taken care of. Thank you very much. You want to know the secret to happiness? Really, you want to have a happy life? It's not about how much you have or don't have. There are plenty of people who have 10 times as much as you and they're miserable. So that's not the answer. There are plenty of people who have a lot less than you and they're miserable. How much you have is not the answer. Learning to be thankful and content. This lady, basically, I mean, Elisha offers to go to the king, offers to go to the president of the United States, just pretend it is whoever you wish it was. In your you know, vivid imagination. And that person was able to do something, especially for, don't you think you could think of something? Hey, could you take care of my parking ticket? Whatever, I don't know. Don't you think you could think of something? If the President of the United States, if somebody said, you know what, I'll talk to the President and we'll be able to fix whatever problem you need. She has that kind of offer. And her answer is, no, that's okay, I'm good. I'm in the midst of my people, I'm content. She was thankful for where she was at. The Lord looked down at those things and He saw her being charitable. He saw her being consistent. And then He sees her being content. And He goes, wow, that's something. That's something. You know the story? We talk about what she was. Here's what she got. She was given a child. The woman conceived, bare a son at that season that Elisha had set unto her according to the time of life. She didn't ask for one. I mean, it's okay to ask. There's no problem with that. But the Lord looked down at her, not because she asked, but the Lord looked down because she was charitable, she was consistent, she was content, and said, I'm going to give you something special. Right? Now, Paul said this. He said, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, one after another. The Lord gives us different things. Amen? We don't all get the same thing. It says in Romans 12:6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Right? So the Lord looks down, and the thing that you may be given may be different from somebody else, and that's okay. The Lord knows what you need. Amen? But the Lord's sitting there watching you, and listen, if you're saved here this morning, you're born again, you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith, listen, you're a child of God, And the Lord looks at his children and, like a mother, wants to help and has something in store for them. And the Shunammite woman just went about doing the right things, taking care of her business normally, charitably, consistently, and she was content. And the Lord looks down and goes, hey, Elisha, tell her I'm going to give her a son. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord knows what you and I need. He knows our desires. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strength. He knows what we need. And listen, you can rest assured, the Lord knows what he's doing in your life. Amen? See, the problem that we have a lot of times is we're too busy to be charitable. We lack consistency. And then we're not content with where we're at. But we still want the Lord to bless us. Right? This woman got it in the right order. And the Lord's gracious and merciful, and he'll take care of you even when you make mistakes. But this woman got it in the right order. And she got blessed beyond her wild imagination. She was given the child. But as any mother knows, with that child, with anything the Lord gives you, folks, there's going to be a challenge along the way as well. Amen? All right? One of the problems that folks have in being consistent in their Christianity is they go out of their way to be charitable. They go out of their way to do something good. They go out of their way to try to walk the Christian life. And then they're given a gift. And they're happy about the gift. And they relish and joy in the gift. And they think, rah, 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 yes, thank you, God. Look how much you've taken care of me. And then the challenges come along. They get that gift, gets to be a teenager. Right? That gift develops rust, or that gift needs maintenance, or whatever the gift is. You get to that point, all of a sudden that gift, there's some challenges that come along with it. And you step back and you begin to think, oh, what have I gotten myself into? And you know what happens a lot of times? What happens when Christians face those challenges? Listen, when Christians face those challenges, they get discouraged. And they have a tendency to draw away from God. They have a tendency to pull back. They don't see the benefit right away. I mean, they saw the benefit initially, but now they don't see the benefit. And so they draw back, they pull away, they stay away from the things that they used to do. Their charity kind of goes down. Why? Well, it's just not worth it. It's too much trouble. They fall away, and that's exactly the opposite of what should happen. Right? This Shunammite woman, she got a child, but it brought her some trouble. Listen, you've heard the old saying, anything worth having is worth working for, right? Now, obviously, we're not talking about salvation. Some of you Bible students out there going, yeah, salvation's not, it's free. And it is. It's a free gift. Amen? I get my sins paid for, not because I earned it, not because I worked for it, but because Jesus Christ died for me. All right? He was buried. He rose again the third day to prove he was God, to prove he had the power over the death. And I realize, as a man, I'm sinful. I can't get to heaven on my own. There's no way I could make it. I've already done too many things that are bad. What's going to happen in the next 20 years? All I'm going to do is get worse. Right? And so I go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, listen, I'm not good enough to get to heaven, but you died on the cross to save me, and I'm trusting you to pay for my sins. Would you please save me? And the Lord does that as a free gift. Amen? The Lord does that as a free gift. But you have to admit, that's worth an awful lot. I mean, you didn't have to pay the price. He did. But it's worth an awful lot. But anything worth having, we say, is worth working for. Right? Anything worth having is worth working for. And this woman, day after day after day, worked and help when Elisha came through town. And when those challenges came along, folks, the first thing she did, she took that child, set it on her knees, the child dies. She picked up that boy, and she carried him to Elisha's bed and put him there. Her first inclination was the man of God. I'm not talking about, you know, the preacher. Her first inclination was, God will take care of this. When the challenges came, when the troubles came, instead of running, instead of drawing back, her first inclination was, God will take care of this. And then she goes and tells her husband, I need to go see Elisha. And her husband's like, why? I need to go see him. And her husband said, okay, go. He trusted her. Amen? She was a good woman. She goes and she gets up to Elisha. And of course, Gehazi goes and tries to raise the child, and he can't. And Elisha goes in and she tells Elisha, she says, I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. This is a great woman. She's got all those attributes. She was given a great gift. And when the challenges came along, she went to the Lord. She went to the man of God. She went to the God of Israel. Why? Because that's the only place you can really go to get things taken care of. Amen? She was given a child, yes. And you may be given something else, that's fine. But I can almost promise you there'll be a challenge that comes along with that gift. And when that challenge comes along in your Christian life, when you're torn, when you feel that great loss, when you don't know what to do, when you're at your wit's end, when you think everything in the world is against you, you got to remember, where did that come from to begin with? And you go to the source, like the Shunammite woman did. She was a great woman. And you know, ultimately, what she was given, and I'm pretty much finished up. She went to the Lord. Elisha, help me, help me. Elisha, hey, the Lord didn't tell me what's going on. And Elisha has to get with the Lord. And, you know, we read the story. He goes into the child, you know, lays on him and all that stuff in there. And then the child's raised from the dead. And this woman who started this whole journey just by making it a habit to be charitable, now has her son raised from the dead. And now she is comforted after that challenge. Amen? She's comforted after that challenge. Second Corinthians says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who hath comforted us in all our tribulation. Christians, but especially here today, mothers. This woman, the Shunammite woman, there's a lot of different things you could talk about her. A lot of different ways you could talk about her. But the things I want you to remember today is she was this, right? She was charitable. She was consistent. And she was content. And what that brought her was a child, a challenge, but then great comfort. And I say this, as a Christian, you can follow those patterns, right? You can try to achieve that greatness, or at least along the same path, along the same journey, right? But it all started with the Shunammite woman with just simple looking around. Hey, there's somebody that needs this. And she took it upon herself to be charitable. Amen? When she found out it was another child of God, she found out it was a man of God, she kicked it up a step. and said, "Oh, I'm going to give him even more." Why? Because he's part of the family. If you're saved, it's part of the family. She was consistent. And she had this thing about her. She was just content. And those things right there started this whole process. You say her life wasn't perfect. No, it wasn't. But brethren, she was blessed. Amen. She was taken care of. And she was a good mother. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a chance to be here today. Certainly, you're a great God, and you do all things well. And Lord, I know that there are a lot of needs and desires represented here in the congregation. But Father, help us to learn a few things from the Shunammite woman. Just some simple, basic things about who she was, what her character was like. And help us, Father, to emulate those things in our own life. Lord, being charitable, consistent, and content is a great start to a Christian life. And we all ought to work on those things. So help us to be like this woman. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.